Welcome to Crown of Life Baptist Church.
I am dwelling on the mountain where the golden sunlight gleams, or a land whose wondrous beauty far exceeds my fondest dreams. I can see far down the mountain where I've wandered weary years, often by the ghosts of doubt and fears, broken vows and disappointments thickly sprinkled all the way, but the Spirit led an airy to the land I hold today. I am drinking from the fountain where I never would abide, for I've satisfied. Well, there's no thirsting for life's pleasures or adorning rich and gay. For I've trod the way before thee and the glory
Good morning, Central Indiana. You are listening to Pastor Greg DeZula of Crown of Life Baptist Church, currently meeting at the Wyndham Hotel Noblesville. We invite you to join our Sunday morning service at 10 o'clock, preparing hearts to embrace God's Word and desiring His coming kingdom. God is calling sinners to the cross, and He is calling believers to the crown. Enjoy today's program with Pastor Greg DeZula. Be listening to the end of today's program for opportunities on how you can support this radio ministry. Jesus said, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life."
As I continue my series of the Battle of Gog, I want to say to every one of you how much I appreciate you listening to this radio broadcast. Hope you are staying healthy and well. This past year has been very turbulent and troublesome, with this corrupt and fraudulent administration forcing COVID vaccinations upon adults and now children. Also, this administration and radical socialistic Democratic Party has been forcing critical race theory, CRT, also known as SEL, social emotional learning, into our public school systems, which is a complete abomination. Hyperinflation has been horrendous since this senile and demonic president has taken office. The constant threat of shortages of all sorts is constantly looming over us. Also, the constant flood of illegal immigrants coming over our borders and the rapid rise of violence on our streets is another sign the Antichrist Party is in control. This may not be the Antichrist, but the Apostle John warned us that there are many antichrists already in the world. This antichrist spirit that exists in Washington, D.C. today is the atheistic Communist Party. Biden and most of the Democratic politicians and some Republicans have sold their soul to the devil. The communists will be the impetus for this Battle of Gog found in Ezekiel chapter 38 and 39. As this dispensation winds down, these are significant events that are prophesied to befall the earth. Again, the title of today's message is The Battle of Gog. This will be a real-life event that Ezekiel prophesied many millenniums earlier. Discovering the details of this future event is paramount to understanding and differentiating the many future events that are still to unfold as our Lord's second coming is nigh. There is also in Scripture the mention of the Battle of Armageddon, which we find in Revelation chapter 16. Is this the same battle as the Battle of Gog that Ezekiel prophesied, or is it different? What are the similarities and what are the differences? That will be my objective in this series, to disclose the subtleties of these prophecies. We will also look at the Psalm 83 war and the war prophesied at the end of the Messianic Kingdom age, also labeled Gog and Magog. So please listen intently as I continue to untangle these prophecies. And remember, Jesus said, when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. The Battle of Gog, Part 5.
The other son of Lot, through his youngest daughter, Ben-Ammi was the name of Lot's son, but the city he started was Ammon, and that's the capital city of Jordan, Ammon, Jordan. And that would be in this area right in here, Ammon. And so Jordan, today it's occupied by Jordan. The Palestinians possibly could be part of that. Amalek. Moses fought Amalek down in here before he went into Sinai, before they went to Mount Sinai, before the Ten Commandments were given in Exodus chapter 20. You read in Exodus chapter 18 or 17, you read about Moses defeating the Amalekites, or the Israelites defeating. Moses was on a mountaintop with his hands raised, and Aaron and Hur held up his arm while he sat on a rock as he was praying for God to defeat Amalek. So that's this territory down in here near Mount Sinai, and part of Saudi Arabia today would be possibly the Sinai Peninsula. The Philistines could be the Palestinians. I mean, this area was a problem when the Israel was a nation. In the Old Testament, this is where the Philistines today, this is where the Palestinians are, and have been a problem to Israel. And so that would be the Philistines. Tyre, I told you about the city, the unique thing about Alexander the Great destroying and sacking the city of Tyre. It was in the southern part of Lebanon. Lebanon was the land of the Phoenicians. And this was a major port city. Tyre was a major port city of the Phoenicians. And then Asher was the son of Shem, and where you get the Assyrian tribe from. Asher built Nineveh. We learn that again in Genesis chapter 10. He built Nineveh, which is the capital of Syria. Assyria, not Syria, but Assyria. The capital of Syria was Damascus. The capital of Assyria that conquered the northern tribes of Israel in the latter parts of the kings was Nineveh. And so you learn that. So those cities that surround Israel have this war, or come together in a confederation and mount a battle battle plan against Israel, and God destroys them. It tells us there in that passage. It tells us that they are burned up as wood and set on fire. Either God will rain down fire upon them, or he has some other means of eliminating them. Now, why are these nations conspiring against Israel? What is one thing, major thing, they are looking to do? You destroy Israel, you destroy the promises of God. You destroy God's covenant. Then you prove that God is not really the God. That's not the real God of Israel. The God of Israel is not the real God, because he can't keep his people safe, and he can't fulfill his promises. He can't fulfill his covenant. The Bible says, turn your Bibles, let's see if I can find it here. Turn your Bibles to Ezekiel 27, just before the story of Gog and Magog. Ezekiel 37, near the end of Ezekiel 37. It says in verse 21, and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will take the children of Israel from among the heathen, whither they be gone, and will gather them on every side and bring them into their own land. That's a promise, right? Ezekiel 37:21. Now verse 22, and I will make them one nation in the land upon the mountains of Israel, and one king shall be king to them all, and they shall be no more two nations, neither shall they be delivered into two kingdoms any more at all. That means, remember, Israel was a divided kingdom after Solomon. They had a civil war, in a sense, and they had a divided kingdom. And God will bring them back. There's a whole prophecy at the beginning of Ezekiel that deals with God bringing those two back together. Neither shall they defile themselves any more with their idols, nor with their detestable things, nor with any of their transgressions, but I will save them out of all their dwelling places wherein they have sinned, and will cleanse them. So shall they be my people, and I will be their God. That's a promise. If these nations are successful, God can't fulfill that promise. And David, my servant, shall be king over them. And they all shall have one shepherd. Here's the covenant of David. God made a covenant to David in Solomon. And it was an everlasting covenant that David shall sit upon the throne. His seed shall sit upon that throne. That is the Lord Jesus. They shall also walk in my judgments and observe my statutes and do them. And they shall dwell in the land that I have given unto Jacob, my servant, wherein your fathers have dwelt, excluding Jacob, Isaac, and Abraham. And they shall dwell therein, even they and their children and their children's children, for whatever. And my servant David shall be their prince, what? Forever. Moreover, I will make a covenant of peace with them. It shall be an everlasting covenant with them, and I will place them and multiply them, and will set my sanctuary in the midst of them forevermore. My tabernacle also shall be with them. Yea, I will be their God. They shall be my people, and the heathen shall know that I, the Lord, do sanctify Israel when my sanctuary shall be in the midst of them forevermore. The Six-Day War, Israel's Six-Day War, the war for independence in 48. There were miraculous things that God did to defend and protect Israel when they didn't have the world backing them. There are multiple stories. It's like during the time, I think it was Elijah, where and I forget what king it was, but his army, they were blinded. They didn't know where they were. God put it, blinded them. And the prophet is leading the army to the king to be defeated, the king of Israel, the northern tribe. And God put a blinder, and there's multiple stories of those things as God protected Israel. What are we supposed to pray for? The Bible says pray for the peace of Israel, the peace of Jerusalem, the peace of Israel. So that they want to destroy the covenant, and therefore God then therefore is not a strong God, and he is really not a God if they succeed in their confederate against Israel. And so it's a powerful thing in understanding this coalition. So that prophecy, the Psalm 84:83 prophecy, has to take place prior to the Gog and Magog coming into the land. In your notes, back in your notes there, just at the bottom of page 4, we talked about the nations that are trying for world power. And then you have in the Battle of Armageddon, the nations that come against Jerusalem are not named. Okay, the Battle of Armageddon, the nations that come against Jerusalem are not named. Okay, it speaks of the whole world. Look here in Revelation 16. And the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the water thereof was dried up, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon. The dragon is Satan. And out of the mouth of the beast, that's the Antichrist. And out of the mouth of the false prophet. The false prophet in Revelation 13 is also a beast. One comes out of the sea, one comes out of the earth. For they are the spirits of devils working miracles which go forth unto the kings of the earth and the whole world to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. And he gathered them together into a place called, in the Hebrew tongue, Armageddon. In the Old Testament, there's an illustration. It's like God hooks them like a fish and drags them down from their nations down to Israel. And he drags them down. They're drawn to the bait because of their pride. Because of their pride, they're drawn. And Roman numeral 3 in your notes, Gog's defeat compared to Antichrist's defeat. We're not going to be able to get through all this, but let's just try, okay? We'll try to get through some. The defeat of Gog is much different than the defeat of Armageddon. The Antichrist and false prophet are cast alive into the lake of fire, but there is no mention of this in Ezekiel concerning Gog. Gog is defeated by natural disasters such as a flood, earthquake, pestilence, hailstones, fire, brimstone, maybe a volcanic eruption. They are also defeated by sheer chaos that erupts among the troops, and they start to slay one another. In Armageddon, Christ will slay the armies with the word of God. He just utters their defeat, and it is made so. We see that in Revelation 19. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he shall smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. Now go back to Ezekiel, if you have your Bibles open, and let's look at the defeat of Gog, Meshech, Magog, the land of Meshech, Tubal, and all these nations that come against here. Ezekiel 38, let's start with 17. Thus saith the Lord God, art thou he of whom I have spoken in old time by my servant the prophets of Israel, which prophesied in those days many years that I would bring thee against them? And it came, and it shall come to pass at the same time that when Gog shall come against the land of Israel, saith the Lord God, that my fury shall come up in my face. For in my jealousy and in the fire of my wrath have I spoken. Surely in that day there shall be a great shaking in the land of Israel. Now, and I talked about the fire of the earth, and I think it's a little bit later in my notes here. But there's going to be so many earthquakes after the rapture. The earth is going to shake over and over and over again. buildings are going to collapse. Mountains, they're going to crumble down. There's so many great earthquakes that we see in the book of Revelation and in the Old Testament. Surely in that day there shall be a great shaking in the land of Israel, so that the fishes of the sea and the fowls of heaven and the beasts of the field and all creeping things that creep upon the earth and all the men that are upon the face of the earth shall shake at my presence, and the mountain shall be thrown down. There it is. Remember what we see in the book of Revelation. The men flee to the caves and say for the rocks to fall on them to hide them from the face and the fury of God, the wrath of God. Fall upon us, they cry out to the mountains. And the steep places shall fall, and every wall shall fall to the ground. And I will call for a sword against him throughout all my mountains, saith the Lord God. Every man's sword shall be against his brother. This happened twice in Scripture. It happened in the time of Gideon, when he blew the trumpets and broke the pitchers and cried out the sword of the Lord. The Midianites turned on one another and slayed themselves. Verse 22, and I will plead against him with pestilence and with blood, and I will rain upon him and upon his bands, upon the many people. Rain, I believe that's actual rain of water upon them with that are with him. An overflowing rain means a flood is going to happen. What happened to Hitler when he tried to go into Russia? They got bogged down. All their fancy war machine got bogged down in the muds of Russia. And then the cold weather came, and it solidified them in the mud, and they were defeated by the weather. And it says, and I will rain upon him and upon his bands and upon the many people that are with him, an overflowing rain and great hailstone, fire and brimstone. Now, could that be a volcano, or will God rain that from heaven like he did on Sodom and Gomorrah? Thus will I magnify myself and sanctify myself, and I will be known in the eyes of many nations, and they shall know that I am the Lord. I think I missed the part where it says the pestilence and the stones, the hailstones. There it is, overflowing rain and great hailstones, fire and brimstone. So he's going to defeat them with natural causes. They will be defeated. And what's interesting, now, horses, there's mention of the Gog and Magog riding horses. There's also in Armageddon talks about the armies riding horses. Now, Dr. Dixon said this years ago. He said, well, maybe it means horsepower. All equipment, all motorized equipment, all tanks and vehicles are measured by horsepower. But then when people started talking about EMPs, electromagnetic pulses that would knock out electronics, and all these tanks and missile silos would become useless. They would be wiped out because of their electronics would be wiped out. That the Lord Jesus is going to be in this tabernacle in the heavens, in the clouds, and the raptured saints are going to be he's going to have the judgment seat of Christ. Will he cast a electric cloud upon the earth that will neutralize all military equipment, all the missiles and bombs and armaments? And so they have to ride horses. They can't use their jeeps and vehicles to come down and descend upon Egypt. Who knows? But there's going to be a lot of horses, a lot of cavalry in this particular time. Oh, I could go on. There's a lot of other comparisons that you need to make. It's how the Israelites clean up the mess versus Armageddon. How does Israel clean up the mess, the spoils of the defeat of Gog? It's totally different. And you can see, and it helps you understand that there has to be this 40-year gap. This 40-year gap between the rapture and the tribulation period, that 7-year tribulation, and then the Lord coming back to plant his feet on this earth. Are we ready? Are we ready to make sure we see the Lord return and we don't have to be a part of that? That's going to be a mess. That is going to be a mess. Heavenly Father, we just come to you, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. I pray, Lord, that each person here knows you as their Savior. They love you. They've drawn close to you, Lord. We know that, Lord, they wouldn't be here unless they loved you, Lord. I pray that, Lord, you help us to be ready. As we talked about in Scripture, it talks about it in Luke chapter 21. It talks about it in Matthew 24, to be ready, to be prepared. The Olivet Discourse, the Lord said, be ready, be prepared, be watching, be praying for my return, looking for these things. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And that's what we're doing, Lord. We're trying to rightly divide these battles, the Psalm 83 war, the Ezekiel war of Gog, and all those nations, and then Battle of Armageddon. Help us to understand these things more clearly, Lord. Illuminate our thought and our thinking and our understanding of the Word of God. And Lord, we give you the praise, honor, and glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
You have been listening to Greg DeZula of Crown of Life Baptist Church. Join us every Sunday morning here on Freedom 95 at 7:30 and Sunday service at 10 a.m. Currently meeting at the Wyndham Hotel, formerly the Cambria Hotel, 13,500 Tegler Drive, Noblesville, where you will hear the hard-hitting truths found in the Word of God, unabashedly proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ and his coming kingdom from the inerrant and infallible King James Bible, the true voice of freedom. If you enjoy this programming and would like to send support, please mail to P.O. Box 47201, Indianapolis, Indiana, 46247-0201. Your financial support is tremendously appreciated. Email Pastor Greg at gdzula@gmail.com. That's gdzula@gmail.com. We look forward to hearing from you.